Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special 3-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, but not with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf. Tonight, it will be with me, Mike Gastala, and Lisa Wolf.
Well, I'm still here.
Yes. This is true.
This is show 328 in our series, and tonight is Saturday, October 20th. We have three great radio shows for you. We are going to start with The Great Gildersleeve, which is, of course, a great comedy. I think it's a great comedy. We've got Under Arrest, a police procedural drama, and we have The Weird Circle, which is a little weird, but it's a drama and a suspense, so we are not short on great classic radio for tonight. It'll be a little bit different without Carl. He is on vacation. He's in Arizona.
That's what he's saying to everybody, but I'm pretty sure he's at a Halloween party.
Yeah, he could be, because that is his second favorite holiday. What is his first, Mike? This is a Carl quiz.
Christmas?
Christmas. Yeah. Right, of course. All right, so before we get into The Great Gildersleeve, we're going to go to our Cat's Pride oldies but goodies. And The Great Gildersleeve was from April of 1949, but first, we're going to play our theme song.
Those oldies but goodies reminds me of you. The songs of the past bring back memories.
So back in April of 1949, a top hit was called Cruising Down the River by Russ Morgan and his orchestra, and we have that for you right now.
Sweet refrain. The winds around all make a sound like softly falling rain. Just two of us together will plan a honeymoon. Cruising down the river on a Sunday afternoon. Sweet refrain. The winds around all make a sound like softly falling rain. Just two of us together will plan a honeymoon. Cruising down the river on a Sunday afternoon.
That's such a happy song, Cruising Down the River by Russ Morgan Orchestra, from April April of 1949, a couple things going on there. Candyland, the board game, was introduced right then.
Interesting.
Did you grow up with Candyland, or are you too young?
I'm familiar with it.
You're too young.
I don't think I ever really played
it. I grew up with Candyland. And the first credit card was issued. It was a Diners Club, and it was made out of cardboard. So times have changed.
They sure have.
We want to remind you, I have a text in line, 312-981-7200. I love to get your text. We've got a Facebook page. It has our fun fact on it and our schedule. We'd love to hear from you on our Facebook as well, WGN Radio Theater. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to start the great Gildersleeve called The Haunted House. We'll be right back. And the time has come, and we are continuing our Halloween theme with the great Gildersleeve from April 20th, 1949. It is The Haunted House, a great comedy. Gildersleeve is studying to become a detective and tackles a haunted house as his first case, starring Hal Perry, Lillian Randolph, Walter Tetley, John Wald, announcer. Here it is, The Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. Well, let's see what's going on in the great Gildersleeve household this fine spring morning. The great man and his little family are just finishing breakfast when they hear the familiar sound of the mailman's whistle.
Mailman!
Out here! Out here,
Bertie! Oh, my goodness. How can one small boy make so much noise?
Oh, it just comes natural to little Leroy.
Leroy, it isn't necessary to
shut... Oh, I got a package, a big one, too.
Package? Oh, yes, yes, I've been expecting that. Let me have it, my boy.
What's in it, Unky?
You'll see. It's something I sent away for.
What is it, a reducing set?
Leroy? Of course not.
Gee, tell us what it is.
You just have to wait till I open it, my boy. It's sort of a surprise.
It is? Mm-hmm. Gee, hurry up.
There. What do you think of that, Leroy?
Gosh, a detective set.
Yeah?
Look at all that stuff. Pair of handcuffs, fingerprint powder, disguises.
Yeah.
And a book on crime detection.
That's right. It's from the Eagle Eye Detective Institute. Do you like it, my boy?
I sure do. Gee, thanks a lot, Unc. I've always wanted one of these.
Well, this isn't for you, Leroy. It's for me.
What? Oh, Unc.
Well, since I caught that bank robber a few weeks ago, I sort of got interested in this sort of thing. You thought I might take up crime detection as a hobby.
Oh, for corn's sake.
Well, I happened to see this detective course advertised in a magazine.
Uncle Mort, how ridiculous can you get?
Now, it isn't ridiculous at all. No harm in learning about these things. You never know. It might come in handy.
How?
Hmm? Well, who knows? Someday the police department might call on me to help solve some big case. Why, I might become known as the Great Gildersleuth.
Sake. Gee, I thought the set was going to be for me.
Don't look so glum, Leroy. You can be a little detective, too. You can be my assistant.
I can? Oh, boy.
Sure. When a case comes up, we'll solve it together.
Gee, I wish a burglar would break in our house. Then we can catch him, Unc.
Well, let's not rush things, my boy. You children better run along to school now.
Okay. Goodbye, Uncle Mort.
Goodbye, my dear.
Detective. See you later, Unc.
Goodbye, Leroy.
Hurry up, car! Call me on car!
Little Leroy. Well, I bet I'll have a lot of fun with this detective set. Certainly looks fascinating, all right. Wonder if Humphrey Bogart has one of these. Let's see now. Fingerprint powder. Sprinkle powder on surface. Blow away and fingerprints will be disclosed. Yeah, sounds easy. I'll try it on the table where Leroy was sitting. Should be plenty of fingerprints there. See, you just shake it out. You blow it. Well, it works. Look how plain they are.
Oh, you still here, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bertie.
What are you doing, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I'm just looking at these fingerprints on the table here.
Oh.
You see how plain they are?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I can't help it if people get fingerprints on things. I keep this house as clean as I can.
Oh, I know that, Bertie.
No, sir, I can't help a few fingerprints. This house is kept as clean as I can keep it.
Yeah, but Bertie, I was looking for fingerprints.
Well, if you look for them, you'll find them, but I keep this house as clean as I can.
Now, Bertie, you don't understand. This is the way we investigate crime.
Well, a few fingerprints ain't no crime. I keep this house as clean as I can.
But, Bertie, I'm just being a detective.
It don't take no detective to find fingerprints around here. I can show you a lot of them, but I keep this house as clean as I can.
Guess I'd better pick up my fingerprint powder and blow. Good morning, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy, have you any crimes you want solved?
Again?
Well, you haven't heard about it yet, but I'm taking up the study of scientific crime detection.
Oh, is that so?
Yep. Got myself a lot of detective equipment, and I'm all ready for business.
Well, in that case, you might be interested in something that happened this morning.
Oh? What's that, Peavy?
There was a big holdup down at the fire department.
A holdup?
Yes. The fire chief's pants were held up by a pair of suspenders.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Held up by a pair of suspenders. Get it?
Yes. Peavy, you may think this is funny, but someday you might need my services.
What?
Well, just suppose your drugstore was robbed. Or suppose somebody kidnapped Mrs. Peavy.
Kidnapped? Mrs. Peavy?
Yes.
Do you know somebody who wants a kidnap?
No, of course not.
Oh.
But just suppose somebody did take her away. You'd look for a detective, wouldn't you?
No, I'd look for Miss Peavy.
But Peavy, I'm a detective. I could follow the clues.
All right, you follow the clues and I'll follow Mrs. Peavy.
Well, you can laugh at me if you want to, Peavy. But I bet the FBI would be crazy to have a detective like me.
Well, now, yes, they certainly would.
Marjorie?
Yes, Uncle Mort, what is it now?
And this book on crime detection is certainly interesting, all right.
Yes, I know. You've been telling me that ever since dinner. I'm trying to do my homework.
Oh, pardon me, of course. Go right ahead, my dear.
Thank you.
Marjorie?
Yes, Uncle Mort.
Write something on a piece of paper.
What?
Want to get a sample of your handwriting.
What for?
Well, there's a chapter here on analyzing personality through handwriting.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Just write anything. Your name.
Oh, all right. There.
Thank you. Let's see here. Small letters crowded together, slant to the left. That's funny.
What's funny?
According to this, you're 50 years old, a pickpocket, and you have a black mustache.
Well, thank you very much.
Must have got something wrong.
Well, I hope so. Unky, I've got to get this homework done. I'm going upstairs. Good night, Mr. District Attorney.
Good night, Miss Miller. Wish Leroy would get back from that weenie roast so I could try this out on him. Yes, sir. I'll bet this. I'll get it, Bertie.
Well, good evening, Gildy.
Hello, Judge. Come in.
Thank you. Well, Gildy, Peavy tells me you're a super sleuth now.
Well,
I must say, in that dressing gown, you do look like a famous detective.
Oh? Sherlock Holmes?
No, the fat man. You...
Very funny, you old goat. Sit down.
Now, Gildy, what is all this nonsense?
It's no nonsense. I'm taking up the hobby of scientific crime detection, that's all.
Oh? Well, I know a case you could work on right now, Gildy.
You do? What's that?
There was a murder committed in an automobile this morning right at 2nd and Main.
A murder in an automobile?
Yes, a fella choked his throttle and killed his motor.
Oh, brother. Judge, with those old jokes, you and Peavy ought to go into television.
Well, maybe we should.
No.
Right
here, Leroy.
Hello, Leroy.
Hello, Judge. Unc.
What's the matter, my boy?
There's a ghost out there.
What? Where?
In that old house out by the mill pond. I heard it.
Now, my boy, you probably just imagined it.
No, I didn't. Piggy heard it, too. Us kids were coming home from the wiener roast, and we went by that haunted house and...
Leroy, there's no such thing as a haunted house.
Well, this one is.
I suppose you mean the old Willoughby house, Leroy.
Yeah. We were just going by there. It was all dark and everything. And all of a sudden, the door opened, and we heard footsteps in there. Like this.
Well, maybe somebody's living there.
Gilda, nobody has lived in that house for 20 years. Not since crazy old Henry Willoughby died there.
Oh, yes.
And then we heard a moan. Like this.
Oh, my goodness. A ghost. That's silly, Leroy.
Well, there have been a lot of stories about that house, Gilda. Some people claim they've seen old Willoughby's ghost roaming through the place at night. It's easy to see how it might frighten some people.
Well, it wouldn't frighten me.
That's what I told the kids, Unc. I told them you were a detective and nothing could scare you.
Why, of course.
I told them you'd walk right in that whole haunted house any old time.
Absolutely.
I told them you'd go right out there tonight.
Tonight?
Sure.
Well, it might be better, Leroy, if I went out there in the daytime. You can see better then.
Aw, why don't you go now and I can go with you?
Well,
You're not scared, are you, Gilda? A big detective like you?
Why, of course not.
Then why don't you go?
All right, Hooker, I will.
Oh, boy!
But, Gilda, aren't you afraid to go out there?
Why should I be? After looking at you all these years, a ghost would look good.
Gilda!
Goodbye, you old ghost. I mean old goat. Come on, Leroy.
Sunk.
Yes, I see it.
Well, shall we get out, Unc?
Huh? Get out? Oh, yes, of course. Pretty dark out here tonight.
Yeah.
House does look a little spooky, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we ought to go a little closer.
Yeah. Sure scary, isn't it?
Well, it's a little dark and lonesome out here, but there's really nothing to be scared of. Leroy, what was that?
Just a screech owl, Unc.
Oh? Must have the hiccups. Hello there, Screechy. Stay close to me, my boy. You're probably pretty frightened.
All right.
We'll have to go through this gate. Sounds like Judge Hooker clearing his throat.
Unc.
Yes?
This is where we heard the ghost.
Huh?
We were standing right where you're standing when it happened.
Right where I'm standing?
Yeah. Then all of a sudden the door opened. And we heard those footsteps. Then that scary sound.
You did? Well, Leroy, I told you there's no such thing as a ghost. You just imagine the whole thing. Why, how could anything like it?
Unc, the door, it's opening.
Yeah.
Footsteps.
Well, after this, don't believe everything I say. Come on, Leroy, run.
And that's the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve from April 20th, 1949, The Haunted House with Hal Perry. We'll be back after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Before we get back to The Great Gildersleeve, I wanted to do a quick shout-out to Shantae Garth, our producer, without whom we would have no radio show tonight or any other night, and to Aubrey Mumpower, who is our engineer extraordinaire out there. And we've got David Jennings and Roger Badish in the newsroom. Those are our two favorite news guys. Those are our two only news guys. But they really are our favorites. And Roger, we want to thank you because today is National Sweetest Day.
Ooh.
It is Yeah, it's observed the third Saturday in October, and that is today. And Roger has blessed us with a lot of chocolates and yummies and popcorn balls and, I don't know, dots. And
I don't see any candy here.
I'm gonna show you. I will take you on an adventure. So thanks to all of you. We really do appreciate you and all of your help to every broadcast, not just tonight, but always.
And to you, Lisa, thank you for being here.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? We miss Carl. Most of us do anyhow. He will be back next weekend, but tonight you're stuck with us.
Yep. I'm Mike Estala here with Lisa Wolf. We're going to get back into The Great Gildersleeve from April 20th, 1949, The Haunted House. Here's the second portion.
Mr. Wall, this is some block we live in.
How's that, Bertie?
Well, practically every woman in this block is a good cook. Now, take Miss Simpson. No woman can broil steaks better than her. And Miss Sulzer, her specialty is hot bread. Casserole dishes like baked shrimp is what Miss McKendry does best. That's the way it is up and down the whole block. Every one of them's a good cook. And every one of them uses parquet margarine as a spread and for cooking, too.
Well, that's not surprising, Bertie. Parquet is so nutritious, and after
Mr. Walter, the reason our block is a parquet block is because parquet margarine tastes so good.
It's economical, too. Costs only about half as much as the most expensive spread.
That's right. But economy is as economy does, I say. And what that parquet margarine does is taste so good.
Why, sure. Parquet is made from the selected products of American farms. So I think that more and more women in every town in America are going to use parquet margarine. They like it because it's nutritious, because it's economical.
But mostly, Mr. Wall, because it tastes so good.
Right you are, Bertie. That's the plain truth about parquet, the delicious margarine made by Kraft. And remember, in many states, you can now buy parquet margarine in yellow quarter-pound sticks. Last night, the great Gildersleeve set out to prove to Leroy that there's no such thing as a haunted house. But while he was out at the mysterious Willoughby place, a strange thing happened. First, the door opened. Then there were hollow footsteps. And then a weird, ghostly sound. What did the great man do? Well, he ran away. It's morning now. We find him telling Marjorie all about it.
I tell you, Marjorie, I heard those sounds just as plain as anything.
Oh, sure.
Well, I did. And Leroy heard it, too.
Uncle Mort, why don't you admit it? It was dark and scary out there, and you imagined those things, that's all.
I did not.
And then you ran away. My big, brave detective.
No, Marjorie.
More coffee, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Bertie, you believe me, don't you?
What, Miss Gilsey?
I did hear something out there last night.
Yes, sir.
There's something going on in that house.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't get scared about nothing.
No, sir.
What's the use? I tell you, Judge, there's something peculiar about that house.
Oh, of course.
Well, there is. I'm standing there, and then I heard this strange sound.
Strange sound. It was probably your knees knocking together.
It was not.
Well, I know another place that's haunted, Gildy.
Where's that?
Your upper story. There's been nobody home there for years.
Well, if it ain't the commish.
Hello, Floyd. I want a haircut.
Okay, hop right up in the chair. Well, Commish, heard any strange noises lately?
Okay, Floyd.
Hey, Commish.
What? Move! Floyd, just cut my hair.
Okay. Boom, 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 boom.
Floyd.
Only kidding, Commish. You know, I don't blame you for running away last night. I'd have run, too.
You would?
Sure.
Then you believe me, Floyd, huh? You think I did hear something out there?
Sure.
You don't think there's a ghost in that house, do you?
No. Something worse than that. A dangerous criminal.
A criminal?
Yep. Probably a counterfeiter.
What?
Well, that's what those guys always do. Take out some place like a haunted house so nobody will come near them.
They do?
Sure. I'll bet this fella's out there right now, grinding out $10 bills.
Oh, well, could be.
Sure, that's your big chance, Commish.
Hmm?
Everybody's laughing at you now, but if you was to catch this guy, you'd be the Dick Tracy of Summerfield. Probably get a big reward, too. Maybe $500.
$500? You think so?
Sure. If I was you, I'd go out there and investigate tonight.
By George Floyd, I'll do it. I'll show the judge and everybody who's afraid.
Atta boy, Commish. I'll be home rooting for you.
Yep. Thanks.
And Commish.
Yes?
You might cut little Floydie Munson in on that
reward. Well, we'll see, Floyd. I'll catch that counterfeiter if it kills me. Whoop, what am I saying? I better go see the chief of police.
Now, Commissioner, you don't know there's a counterfeiter out in that house.
Well, Chief, there's somebody out there. What about those footsteps I heard?
Now, Mr. Gildersleeve, those footsteps were probably just a rat running around.
Well, if it was a rat, he was wearing shoes.
That's very funny. Ho, ho, ho.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm going out after this fellow tonight, Chief. Are you coming with me or not?
Well, Commissioner, I guess I shouldn't let you know.
Now you're talking.
This fellow might be a dangerous character, all right.
Naturally. He's probably a killer.
Well, I can't let you face a killer without any protection.
That's well. Then you're going out with me?
No, I'm going to give you a permit to carry a gun.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, not at all, Commissioner. Sign right here.
What a chief of police. Well, guess I'd better get out to that house. Getting kind of late. Hope I can sneak downstairs without waking the family. Oh, better turn off the light. I'll tiptoe.
Hi, Unc.
Oh, Leroy.
Where are you going?
Out to the Willoughby house.
What?
That isn't a ghost out there, Leroy. It's a dangerous criminal, and I'm going to get him.
Really? Gee, can I go out there with you?
No, my boy. You go on back to bed. It's too risky. He's probably a killer.
Gosh, you're sure brave, Unc.
Well, some people don't think so, but I'm going to show them.
Atta boy, Unc.
Well, my boy, I'll be back in a little while.
Yeah, I hope so.
Be there pretty soon, I'm afraid. Guess I'll have to go through with it now. Me and my big mouth. What if that fellow is a killer? Well, I just won't think about it. Get some music on the radio. Cheer myself up.
Well, Flatfoot, I caught you snooping around here, didn't I?
Huh?
Well, you made a big mistake coming out here. You're not getting out of this place alive.
Oop.
I'm gonna drill you so full of holes you'll look like a piece of cheese.
I hope it's Kraft.
Well, big boy, here's a present for you.
Oh! Think I'll try another program. Here, not too close to the house. And I'll sneak up on him. That's what it said in the book, chapter 2. Well, come on, Gildersleeve. You wanted to be a detective. Wish the moon would come out. What's that? My heart's pounding so loud. Sounds like somebody's following me. Isn't that silly?
Somebody is following me. Wonder who it is. Nobody out here but me and the killer. The killer. He's after me. He's gaining on me. This is the end, Gildersleeve. Goodbye, Marjorie. Goodbye, Leroy. You can have my detective set.
Hey, Commissioner.
Chief Gates. What are you doing out here?
Well, Commissioner, I thought it over and decided it wasn't right to let you come out here all alone.
Oh?
After all, we're fellow jolly boys.
Oh, thanks, Chief. I'm certainly glad you're here.
Well, glad to be here. Well, Commissioner, let's get on with the manhunt.
Manhunt? Oh, yes.
Just stay right behind me.
Good idea. Here's the gate.
Shh. Mustn't let him hear us. He might take a shot at us.
Oh, yeah.
Careful going up these steps.
I will. Stumbled.
Shh. Here, I'll open the door.
Yeah.
Say, kind of spooky in there, isn't it?
Sure is.
Well. Guess we ought to go in.
Yeah. Guess we should. The door's open.
I'll tell you, Commissioner. You go in and I'll stay out here and be the lookout.
Huh? Why can't I be the lookout?
Oh, no, no. That takes experience. You go in and flush him out.
Flush him out?
That's right. And I'll leap on him when he runs out the door.
Well, look before you leap. The fellow running out might be me.
Okay. Go on in, Commissioner.
Well, all right. Stop pushing me.
Don't worry. I'll be right here.
Oh, don't lock the door. Dark. Can't see a thing in here. Killer's probably hiding someplace, ready to spring at me. I'll just feel around. Feels like a face. Chin. Big nose. Ears. Antlers. A moose head. Yeah, I guess he isn't in this room. Better try the hall. Cobwebs. It's just floor. Wouldn't creak so loud. He's liable to be... There it is. I'm getting out of here. No, I'm not. He's not going to scare me. I'll show him. Oh, brother. Sounds like it's coming from that room there. There's a light under the door. I'll get my gun ready here. What did I do with that permit? Wish I could stop shaking. Well, I'll sneak up on him. Well, this is it, Gildersleeve. The killer's just outside this door. Courage now. I'll take him by surprise. Put up your hands! I've got you!
Well, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Phoebe! Phoebe, what are you doing here?
Oh, I come out here several nights a week to practice.
Practice?
Yes, I just bought this cello, and Mrs. Phoebe won't let me play it in the house.
Oh? Oh, brother, I don't blame her.
Well, nobody can hear me way out here. Of course, I'm just a beginner.
Oh, my goodness, and I thought you were a counterfeiter.
How's that?
Playing a cello in a place like this. Phoebe, you're the biggest boob in Summerfield.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Oh. Come on in, Chief, and bring your harmonica. All right, fellas. Come on, jolly boys. Let's sing it.
For it's always fair weather when good fellows get together.
jello.
Thank you.
Good night, folks.
You like this pleasant, quick way of making leftovers more delicious. Just add a little Kraft prepared mustard and you add a lot of tang. Hidden flavors in boiled ham, sausage, most any meat pop right out. Every bite tastes better. Now you can get two kinds of Kraft mustard. Salad mustard, delicately spiced for those who prefer a milder flavor, and Kraft mustard with snappy horseradish added. Have both kinds in your pantry. Then with every meat dish, hot or cold, just add a little mustard and you'll add a lot of tang. Kraft's prepared mustard.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And that's the Great Gildersleeve from April 20th, 1949, The Haunted House with Hal Perry. We'll be back after this break. Under Arrest coming up, an episode from August 1st, 1948, The Spook of Lisa Wolf's Mansion. I mean, The Spook of Sherwood Mansion with Joe DeSantis.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, David. I'm Mike Estala. I'm here with Lisa Wolf. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Hey, this is hour two.
This is hour two.
Of Sans Carl.
Okay.
Okay. He's off and running this weekend, so here we are playing some great radio shows. We picked the best of the best, and that's what we're playing this weekend, with or without Carl.
Did you pick all of these this week?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did. What Very do you good. Think? How'd I do?
Good lineup.
Good. Thank you. What do we got this hour, Mikey?
We have Under Arrest. It's an episode called The Spook of Sherwood Mansion with Joe DeSantis.
And before we do that, we are going to play our Cat's Pride Oldies But Goodies.
Those oldies but goodies reminds me of you.
So The Spook of Sherwood Mansion is from August 1st, 1948. A top song during that is Woody Woodpecker by Kay Kaiser and his orchestra.
Oh, that's the Woody Woodpecker song. Yeah, he's a-pecking it all day long. He pecks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red. And it's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to peck a few holes in your head. Oh, that's the Woody Woodpeckers too. Makes the other woodpeckers swoon. Though it doesn't make sense to the doll and the dance and the lady woodpeckers long for. That's the Woody Woodpecker song. Choice with a laugh in his voice, he gives all his rivals the bird. He'll be settling down someday. He'll be hearing the preacher say, for the rest of of your life. You'll be Whoopi and wife, and the choir will sing along with the Woody Woodpecker song.
Mike, what did you think of the Woody Woodpecker song?
I thought that was awesome. Can you do that little giggle he does?
I can, but I'm not going to do it on the radio because I will be chastised by my friends.
All right.
Anyhow, that was Woody Woodpecker, and this is August of 1948 when the very first jukeboxes became available, and a Pez dispenser was created to mimic a lighter. Did you know that?
I can see that.
Right, because Pez candy was started in 1927 to help people quit cigarettes. Mike, maybe that's the key.
Maybe it is.
Maybe I should buy you some Pez.
Yes.
All right, that's on my list.
Bring me a Pez thing every week.
That's on my list of things to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to play Under Arrest called The Spook of Sherwood Mansion. We'll be right
back. And we're back. We're going to take a listen to Under Arrest, which is a police procedural drama. The episode that we're going to hear is The Spook of Sherwood Mansion. This is from August 1st, 1948, where Captain Jim Scott investigates the haunted house of Janet Sherwood. And the plot involves a murdered spy where a valuable atomic secret is at stake.
All right, so it's time to pull up the covers, turn down the lights, and get ready for a nice little Halloween special.
There we go. So this is the first portion of Under Arrest, The Spook of Sherwood Mansion.
Mutual presents Under Arrest. Into your cell. Criminals behind bars. Under Arrest. The story of Police Captain Jim Scott's fight against crime.
Hello? Susan Webb speaking.
Miss Webb, this is Janice Sherwood.
Oh yes, Miss Sherwood.
I feel a little foolish, but I'd like to ask you a favor.
Do what I can.
It's something I don't want to talk to the police about. They've been so kind, and they've really done everything.
Has something new happened? I mean, has there been another ghost?
It's the same one, I think. Oh, I know it sounds as though I'm imagining things, but if you heard the same things I hear, and if you saw the same things I see, well, what I mean is, would you spend the night at my house tonight, Miss Webb?
I think you've got a very good idea there. In fact, I'd love to. Busy, Captain Scott?
Just a little, but come on in. How are you and the Times Herald coming with your haunted house?
Well, so far, I've been able to build it into one of those three-day wonders. Is that bad?
I wish you luck, but I think the only thing that's haunted is your girlfriend's skull. I don't blame you. Makes a good story. Maybe you can sell it to the movies. What are you featuring on your typewriter today?
Nothing, except the ghost walked again last night. Shall I read it to you?
Sure, shoot.
How do you like my headline? Hmm? Spook of Sherwood Mansion defies housing shortage.
Nice twist.
Thanks. Invisible intruder beats rent gougers again.
I like your angle.
Janet Sherwood, whose parents, Mr. and Mrs. Douglas E. Sherwood, are vacationing in Europe, reports second visitation from unseen spirit at old Sherwood Mansion on Madison Avenue. Disorder in library suggests literary leanings in supernatural snooper. But the police find nothing missing.
Mighty decent of you to mention us policemen, Miss Webb. Mighty decent.
You think Janet Sherwood is just a crackpot, don't you?
I think she's a highly imaginative young lady who shouldn't live in that big barn of a house all by herself. She ought to take a room in a hotel till her father and mother get back.
You may be right, but I've got news for you.
What's that?
I'm spending the night with her tonight.
Well, I hope you have fun, but I'm afraid it'll be pretty dull.
You don't believe her story at all.
I think Miss Sherwood reads too many ghost stories. Maybe she even walks in her sleep. I sent a couple of men over there, and they couldn't find anything.
But how about the library? Didn't they see the way the books were all pulled out?
Well, maybe she pulled them out herself and forgot all about it. All I know is there's no evidence of robbery. Nothing's been beat up or murdered, so what are we supposed to do? Sit up all night and hold Miss Sherwood's hand?
That's what I'm going to do tonight.
You'll do anything for a story, won't you?
It's one way of making a living.
All right. I'll tell the patrolman on the beat to keep an eye on the place.
Well, shall we put the lights out and pretend to go to sleep?
I guess we'd better. Gee, I'm glad you're here, Miss Webb.
Why don't you call me Susan, Janet?
Okay. You know, I just can't believe I imagined all these things.
Well, let's see what happens. I'll switch off the light. Susan, listen. There's two. There it is again. Oh, I think I know what that is. It's just a plain, ordinary alley cat.
I guess you're right. Oh, I wish they'd stop.
So do I. Cats can sound so terribly human. But I'm sure it's just cats. Oh, they're quieting down now, thank goodness. Let's just be quiet, too, and see if our ghost shows up.
You don't believe my story, do you?
Of course I believe your story. I believe there's a sensible explanation.
I don't believe in ghosts either. It's just that I'm sure I heard things. And all those books were pulled down in the library, and the police couldn't find anything.
Well, if we hear anything tonight, maybe we can find out what it's all about.
Oh, goodness, I'm sleepy.
Be a fine thing if we both dozed off.
I'm sleepy, too.
Well, I'll keep pinching myself. Susan.
Yes.
Did you hear anything?
I'm not sure.
Listen.
There. I'm sure I heard something that time.
What did it sound like?
I don't know. It was like someone moving around down in the library.
I guess the only thing to do is to go down and look.
Should we call the police?
Oh, we haven't much to go on. We might look pretty foolish.
I guess you're right.
Come on. We'll sneak down in the dark. Very quietly.
There! What was that?
I don't know. Look! Someone's using a flashlight.
Yes, but they just turned it off. Listen to that! Oh, what should we do?
Stop, listen! Whoever this is gone, where's the light switch?
Right here. Susan! Look!
Oh, good heavens.
I wonder if he's dead. That's the doorbell.
I'll get it.
Who can it be?
It's probably the policeman on the beat. Heard the shots. Well, what do you make of it, Jim?
Well, what I make of it is I should have taken your haunted house more seriously.
You did all you could do. I don't blame you for thinking Janet Sherwood is a crackpot. I did myself until it was too late.
Well, we found out how the killer and his victim slipped by the patrolman.
How?
The service entrance is pretty dark, and it goes all the way through the next block.
How did they get into the house?
We found a skeleton key on the corpse that opened the basement door. Here's the funny thing. We also found that one of the basement windows had been jimmied, and we definitely know it hadn't been jimmied when we checked up before the murder.
What do you make of that?
Looks like the victim knew his way around and went in alone.
But then the victim was the ghost.
Yeah. The other guy must have followed him and didn't have a key and had to use the window.
Any ideas on motive?
No. But it looks like our ghost was sort of spooky at that. Look at this.
What is it?
Report from the medical examiner.
Examination of deceased head reveals evidence of extensive plastic surgery?
Yeah. Had his face lifted.
Well, what about his fingerprints?
Nothing on the records.
Well, that's funny. You'd think if he'd had his face lifted, he'd be hiding from somebody. And if he's hiding, he must have a police record.
Police isn't the only thing you hide from.
Well, what was he after? What was he looking for? There never was anything missing.
Yeah. I think I'll have another talk with Janet Sherwood. You don't want to come along, do you?
What do you think?
Miss Sherwood. Are you absolutely certain there's nothing missing?
Well, I can't be absolutely sure. I've checked everything I can think of.
Well, what about the library? That's where it happened. Does your father have a hidden wall safe back in the bookshelves or anything like that?
Father has a wall safe, but it's upstairs.
What about the books? Are any of them especially valuable?
He has some first editions, but I've checked all those.
Are there any books missing? Any kind of books?
It's hard to be sure. There are so many books, I wouldn't know whether one of them's missing or not.
Yeah, like missing one neon sign on Broadway.
Wait a minute. There's one book I never thought of. I just this minute remembered it.
What's the book?
You remember it, Susan. I brought it home from the office last night. You were kidding me about it.
You mean that book about the haunted house?
Yes. I've been too nervous to read it ever since I started hearing these noises. I left it at the office, and then last night I brought it home.
Why did you decide to bring it home?
Well, all the people at the office read the newspaper stories about my haunted house, and when they saw a book about a haunted house on my desk, they accused me of making up the story.
Is it missing?
I don't know. But I'm sure I left it right on top of the desk in the library. Let's look.
Huh?
It's not there.
Maybe you put it somewhere else.
No. No, I'm positive. That's where it was when you saw it. You remember?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
What was the name of the book?
It was L'Invité Invisible.
Huh?
It was translated from the French. The Unseen Guest by Émile Bonnard.
Oh, yeah. Hey, is it your own book?
Yes, I just bought it a few days ago.
Before you heard the noises in the house or after?
Just before.
How did you happen to buy a book like that?
Well, I always liked ghost stories, and until this happened.
Where did you buy it?
I saw it in the window of a little secondhand bookshop.
What shop?
In a little place on 15th Street.
Had you ever been in there before?
No. That's why he asked me for my name and address. He said he'd put me on his mailing list.
Was that his idea or yours?
Well, it was his.
Hmm. You say it was a little place. You mean it was really small?
Well, the shop was small, but it was packed with books.
Just one man run it?
Yes. He was a curious little man.
I'd like to meet him. Maybe you'll introduce me to him.
Why, sure. Anytime.
How about right now? Mr. Lerner, do you remember selling a book to this young lady? It was about 3 days ago.
I probably did.
I'd like to do better than that. Can't you answer yes or no?
But so many customers come into my shop.
Look, the book I bought was called The Unseen Guest by Émile Bonnard.
Yes, I do remember selling a copy of that book.
Do you remember selling it to me?
Well, to tell you the truth...
You ought to remember. You asked her for her name and address.
I remember her now, of course.
You wanted a name and address for your mailing list.
That is right.
What do you send out to your mailing list, Mr. Lerner?
Oh, a little booklet, announcements of different books we get.
May I see one of these booklets you send out?
Well, you see, they have not come from the printers yet.
What's the name of the printer?
I have not decided which printer I will use.
In other words, you haven't even ordered the booklets.
Not yet, no.
How about the mailing list? Can I see that?
It is not complete yet.
How about letting me see it as far as it goes?
It is just a few scribbled notes here and there.
I see.
May I ask Mr. Lerner a question?
Sure, Susan. Go ahead.
Mr. Lerner, do you happen to have another copy of the book you sold Miss Sherwood?
I'm afraid not. It is quite an old book, and I don't get a copy of it very often.
What's that on that shelf up there?
Where?
There. Looks like the same title.
Well, let me see. Oh, so it is. I did not realize I had another copy.
Hand it down to me, will you, Mr. Lerner?
Yes. I can just about reach.
Just for the fun of it, let me see if you can reach it with your left arm.
My left arm? But I'm not left-handed. Why should I use my left arm?
Let's say I'm kind of curious about a bulge I see under your left arm.
A bulge?
Yes. There. That wouldn't be a gun, would it?
You are very observing, Captain. That is a gun.
I suppose you have a permit.
Oh, yes. There have been several holdups in this neighborhood, and I applied for a gun permit.
Can I see it?
Well, certainly. Right here in this drawer. There, Captain.
Thanks. Okay, Mr. Lerner. I'm glad you have this permit.
Of course. Otherwise, I would not have the gun.
Let me have a look at your gun, Mr. Lerner.
Very well. There. Why are you so interested in my gun?
I just wanted to see what kind of a bullet it shoots. Doesn't shoot the kind I'm interested in.
May I ask what kind you are interested in?
The kind you shoot ghosts with.
Huh?
You don't happen to have another gun, do you?
Oh, no, no. Only this one.
Okay. Put it away. Now, let's see that book.
I did not realize I had this copy.
Wait a minute. Where's your wrapping paper?
Wrapping paper?
Here it is, Jim.
Yeah. Here. Put the book on this.
You wish to buy it?
No, no. I'll just borrow it. I have a friend who'd like to read it. He's an expert. An expert on thumbprints.
That's the first portion of Under Arrest from August 1st, 1948, The Spook of Sherwood Mansion with Joe DeSantis. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. This is Mike Costello covering for Carl Amari, and I've got Lisa Wolf here. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Mike. I just heard Roger say that. Did you say it felt like 26?
Yeah, wind chill of 26.
That's about. Crazy.
Well,
can
it's
you
not
fix
zero.
That?
It's not zero.
No, it's not,
not yet.
It's going to be. You know, I'm
no,
feeling.
It's going to warm up during the. Well, warm up, relatively warm up
it's
during
feeling
the
feeling a little
so.
Like Halloween around
yeah.
here.
Well,
now, there's no decorations
yeah.
in the studio, but we are playing Halloween themes, and I know Dave Player's going to do some Halloween conversations as well, so it's feeling a little like Halloween around here.
Do you get a lot of trick-or-treaters around your house?
I get pretty many. I still trick-or-treat, don't you?
No.
No.
Yeah, but you see, they know that she's tall, so
tall?
She has to... Well, I mean, you're an adult-sized person walking around with your costume, so you have to get... To get the candy, you have to be a child size.
You do not have to be a child size to get candy.
In your neighborhood?
You do not.
Well, that's where I'm going to be trick-or-treating
then. Are you knocking on doors where people don't know who you are?
As long as you bring a kid with you, I think it's
okay.
Fair.
Oh,
and I also think that it's not okay
wow.
to go and...
Just walk down the street and grab a kid.
Grab a kid. That's what you're supposed to do at Halloween. Find a spare child and just knock on a door. There's nothing wrong with that.
Maybe I can... There's a lot of kids around my neighborhood that yeah. go trick-or-treating, and maybe
it's
I'll just like
idea.
Kind of... sneak in the crowd.
I am telling people to steal children. That's wonderful. All right, I think we better get back
fair
to Under
enough.
Arrest.
We are listening to Under Arrest from August 1st, 1948, The Spook of Sherwood Mansion with Joe DeSantis. Here's portion two.
Well, I seem to have drawn another blank.
How do you mean, Jim?
That book. There was an outside chance I'd find Janet Sherwood's fingerprints on it. That would have meant it was the same one missing from her home. And that wouldn't look so good for our friend Leonard. But we didn't find her prints.
Why do you suppose he didn't want to admit he had another copy?
Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he forgot he had it.
Hmm. Are you sure it isn't the book we're looking for?
How can you be sure? Could have wiped it clean, but... And why would he put it back on the shelves and then deny he had it? My hunch is it's not the book. But I've also got another hunch.
What's the hunch?
I don't think the book itself is very valuable.
How do you mean?
I mean, there it was sitting right in Lerner's window. Anybody who wanted it could pick it up for the price of a second-hand book. But as soon as Miss Sherwood buys it, the devil breaks loose and we end up with a murder.
Well, I see what you mean, but it doesn't ring any bell with me. I don't see the angle.
The only angle I see is that somebody slipped something into that book. A slip of paper or something. And they must have done it between the time Lerner took it out of the window and the time he wrapped it up and handed it to her.
Now I'm beginning to catch up. But who else was in the store?
Janet Sherwood says nobody.
Ah, that makes Mr. Lerner look slightly behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Doesn't get us anywhere because it's only a theory. You could probably work out six other theories just as good. But for now, I'll stick to this one.
And suppose you're right, Jim.
In that case, Mr. Lerner slipped something into the book because he wanted to get rid of it temporarily. And he took down Janet's name and address so he could get it back again. But somebody else wanted it too. And when they met in the library, Lerner bumped him off.
But you examined Lerner's gun.
He could have had another one.
How did the other man know Janet had the book?
He didn't have to know she had it. All he had to do was to keep following Lerner, and Lerner led him right to the Sherwood Library.
Then why was it the murdered man had the skeleton key?
Lerna could have planted it on him just to get rid of it.
How about fingerprints?
It was wiped clean. That's why I think it was planted. Otherwise, it would have had the victim's prints on it.
Well, it makes a picture, but as you say, it's all theory. Nothing to get your teeth into.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is, if it's right, it'll pay off and pay off fast. If it's wrong, I'm just a dumb cop.
But if it pays off, why do you think it'll pay off fast?
Because you're going to help me.
Me? How?
You're going to write a big exclusive feature story for your newspaper.
Tell me more.
You're going to scoop the whole field on that little talk we had with Mr. Lerner. Only you're not going to mention his name or address. All you're going to say is a certain little man who runs a certain little bookshop, sold a certain book, and a certain character whose face was loaded with plastic surgery got bumped off. And here, look at these two. Look at these.
What are they?
Pictures of the victim before he had his face lifted.
Where'd you get them?
We had an artist working with our medical examiner, reconstructing the face to show what it might have looked like before it was changed.
That's a smart idea.
Okay, go to it. And by the way...
What?
Be sure you put your name at the top of this story.
Oh, I always do, don't I?
Yeah, but you might forget. I wouldn't want that to happen on this one. This will probably be the most important byline you'll ever write.
What makes you think so?
I have an idea. Somebody's going to ask you for the name and address of the little bookshop. And if they do, you give it to them. But don't let him get out of your sight.
Yes?
You are Miss Susan Webb.
Yes, I'm Miss Webb.
I must apologize for calling at your apartment in the evening, but I did not think it wise to interrupt you at your office.
What's it about?
Actually, it's a personal matter. I would like to ask a favor. May I come in for just a moment?
Yes. Come in.
Thank you so much. You are Miss Susan Webb of the Times Herald, are you not?
Yes, that's where I work.
Oh, this is a lovely apartment.
Yes, it's very nice.
So high up, too.
It's cool in the summer.
Quite a view from the windows.
On a clear day, it's a wonderful view.
It's a long way down to the street. Does it ever make you nervous to look down to the street?
Oh, no, I'm used to it.
Good for you. Well, this favor I would like to...
How did you know where I live?
Oh, very simple. I had only to refer to the telephone book.
Oh, I see.
Fortunately, you live alone. Otherwise, your telephone might have been in your husband's name. You do live alone, don't you?
Oh, yes. All alone.
Well, I read your piece in the newspaper about the little bookshop. It was very interesting.
Thank you.
You see, I'm very interested in bookshops. I know quite a few of them because I'm always collecting books and I never know where I will find something I'm looking for.
Sort of a hobby?
Yes. I thought perhaps if you would give me the name and address of this shop you mentioned, I might find it an excellent place to look around.
I'll be glad to give it to you. It's run by Mr. Maxime Lerner at 103 East 15th Street.
Ah, I'll write that down. Mr. Maxime Lerner.
Yes, 103 East 15th Street.
103 East 15th Street.
That's right.
Thank you very much. You don't happen to know Mr. Lerner's home address?
Yes, he lives over the shop. The shop is part of his house.
Splendid. I'm leaving town in the morning, and I might telephone him tonight about some books I'm trying to locate.
I have his telephone number.
That would be very kind.
Would you like to phone him now? You can use my phone.
Oh, I wouldn't think of troubling you. I'll just take down the number.
It's Chestnut 4607.
Chestnut 4607.
Yes.
You've been most helpful, Miss Webb.
Not at all, Mr...
Franklin, Paul Franklin.
I'm very glad I could help you, Mr. Franklin.
I'm most grateful.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Webb.
Who is there? Who is there?
Oh, I'll take your gun. You won't need it. Now, go in and we'll close the door.
What is this?
We will go into a back room and then you will switch off the lights in the store. And don't try to be clever. Now, Mr. Lerner, I would like to have the formula.
What formula?
The new atom formula, which you are hoping to sell for a great deal of money.
I do not know what you are talking about.
Come now, Mr. Lerner. seems that you and I are in the same business.
I still do not know what you mean.
Just to show you I know what I'm talking about, I'll tell you about my business. Then I'll tell you about your business. My business is very simple. I am a thief. I steal all kinds of secrets. Secrets about new materials of war. Secrets about new defenses and new weapons. Then, when I have stolen these secrets, I sell them to whoever will pay me the most money. Does that sound anything like the business you are in, Mr. Lerner?
I am in the business of selling books.
I will refresh your recollection. A short time ago, there was a new and secret atom formula developed, and my partner and I tried to steal it, but someone got there ahead of us. Then my partner picked up the trail of this person who got there ahead of us, and I believe he would have succeeded in getting the formula, only this person murdered him in the library of someone named Sherwood. Does that sound familiar to you?
Why don't you tell that to the police? They would like to know who the murdered man was.
He was a famous international spy, but he became too famous. That's why he had his face lifted.
What does all this have to do with me?
He was my partner, but I didn't know what happened to him. Now I know.
Now you know what?
Thanks to the article I read in the paper, I know that you killed him. Because I think you are in the same business that I am.
It is not true.
You probably saw him watching you from outside your shop, and just then a young lady came in, so you slipped the formula inside the book you sold her and took her name and address. Then my partner followed you, and when you recovered the formula, he tried to get it, and you killed him.
Ah, that is a lot of nonsense.
In that case, let's talk sense. I think you are in the business of stealing and selling secrets the same as I am. All right. Suppose we say you stole the atom secret, and suppose we say I will buy it from you.
You will buy it? I thought you said you tried to steal it.
That is correct, but since I couldn't steal it, I will have to buy it. It's a very good proposition for you, Mr. Lerner. The police are already suspicious of you. It would be very difficult for you to make contacts. But here I am, with plenty of money, ready to do business. And there's another point.
What is that?
If you decide you don't want to do business with me, I may decide to kill you.
Kill me? Why?
Because I've been too frank with you. Because now you know who I am, and I don't like that.
I see. How much will you pay?
$100,000.
In cash?
In cold American dollars. And I think, since you haven't much choice, I'm being very fair.
Show me the money.
Show me the formula.
It is here, in this book.
Your favorite hiding place. Let me see it.
It is the real thing.
Yes. This is it.
Now the money.
I hate to part with money, Mr. Lerner.
You hate to part with money?
Yes, money is so valuable, and bullets are so cheap.
Bullets?
Yes, bullets. You seem to be waiting for someone, Miss Webb.
What if I am?
I think you followed me in your car. In that case, we will use your car instead of mine, and you can be the chauffeur. Step on it. This gun has several more bullets in it. I knew you would follow me, Miss Webb.
Did you?
That's why I came directly to the little shop. And since you were so afraid you might lose my trail, you didn't stop to telephone Captain Scott.
Oh, no? Just so happens I phoned him while you were in the bookshop.
I think that is a lie. You were afraid to look for a public telephone for fear I might come out of the shop and get away.
What makes you so sure?
Common sense. Keep straight over 15th Street and then down the drive to the tunnel.
Where are we headed for?
For the airport. Drive carefully, Miss Webb. We are almost there, Miss Webb, and you are about to have an accident.
An accident?
Open the door on your side. You're about to fall out at 70 miles an hour.
Get your hands off that wheel. I'll drive us both into the nearest telephone
pole. I think I'm a little stronger than you are. You get your hands off.
I won't.
See that or get a bullet.
I'll take the bullet. Let go of me.
Webb, there's something ahead.
A roadblock.
Turn the car around.
70 miles an hour?
Slow it up and turn around. Wait. Don't turn. There's someone behind us. Try to go through the roadblock.
Oh, yeah?
The boy can get him. He's out like a light.
Must have conked himself on the windshield.
Oh, I thought we'd both go through it when I slammed on those brakes.
You all right?
Yeah. I had a chance to get set for it. Where did that roadblock come from?
When I saw you head for the tunnel, I figured on the airport, so I got the guard at the toll station to phone ahead.
How did you pick up my trail? I never got a chance to phone you. You told me not to take my eyes off you.
That's right.
Captain Scott?
Yes, officer?
We just called the detail we left at the bookshop. Lerner was still alive, gave the whole story before he died. Told him this character we just picked up has a stolen atom formula. Here it is.
Atom formula? So my hunch was right. Wow.
Wow and double wow. But you haven't answered my question.
What's that?
How did you pick up my trail? I couldn't take my eyes off him long enough to phone you.
So what? All I had to do was just not take my eyes off you.
Under arrest.
All prisoners present and accounted for.
You have just heard Under Arrest, presented by Mutual, a new series featuring Joe DeSantis as Police Captain Jim Scott. Under Arrest is directed by Martin Martner and written by Thornton Leonard. Original music is composed and played by Milton Kay. Susan Webb was played by Margaret Draper. Janet by Patricia Courtley, Lerner by Guy Repp, Paul by Alan Hewitt. All names of persons used in Under Arrest are fictitious. Any resemblance to names of actual persons, living or dead, is coincidental. Ralph Paul speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And that's Under Arrest from August 1st, 1948, The Spook of Sherwood Mansion with Joe DeSantis. I think I have more notes on this show here. Others in the cast, Guy Rupp, Alan Hewitt, Margaret Draper, Milton Kay, Patricia Courtley, and the announcer, Ralph Paul. This was sustaining over Mutual. Let's take a break. We'll be back shortly.
Mike, every year I look so forward to attending the Gateway for Cancer Research, which was this year. It was tonight at the Sheraton Grand Chicago. And the theme this year was the greatest gateway. But what is so special about this is the Gateway for Cancer Research is a nonprofit organization, and it's dedicated to funding cancer research trials, and all they do is support groundbreaking cancer clinical trials. And 99 cents of every dollar Gateway receives directly funds phase one and phase two cancer clinical trials at leading research institutions. So, you know, the co-chairs of this event, I have talked to them so many times. They are two wonderful people. It is Richard J. Stevenson and his wife. It's Dr. Stacy J. Stevenson. And they're very special because their vision and all of their research and energy and time all goes into finding a world in which a cancer diagnosis is no longer feared. So what we want to do is find clinical trials and breakthrough clinical trials worldwide to help people living with cancer. They feel better, they live longer, and they can conquer cancer. And so I urge you to get involved by checking out the website. Visit www.gatewaycr.org. Check it out. I've got a Facebook post on WGN Radio Theater of a picture of the Stevensons at the event, and I hope that you'll check it out and check out their worthy cause.
It sounds like a great cause. You've been involved with them for
quite a few years. And I know that, you know, they are, Richard Stevenson is the founder and chairman of the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And Dr. Stacy Stevenson is also a director of the Cancer Research Board. And they are the presenters of this greatest gateway. Please check it out. A most worthy cause.
Will do.
Great.
All right. What else do we have going on here on the WGN Radio Theater?
Oh, we've got the Weird Circle coming up this hour.
We do.
But before we do that, we are going to do a little Cat's Pride oldies but goodies.
Are we?
We are, but not quite yet.
I don't think we are.
It's almost 1 o'clock, and what happens at 1 o'clock? We've got our newsman extraordinaire just chomping at the bit. waiting to do a little traffic weather.
Chomping at the bit.
I think you are.
What do you, do I have a bridle on me?
I don't think you do.
Am I ready to pull the wagon?
Well, I can see
you. Westward ho, Roger.
I can see you at your seat just jumping up and down, waiting and waiting.
I'm not jumping. What am I jumping up and down?
That's
because it's because of all the candy he's got up there.
Probably.
Well, that too, yeah.
All those popcorn balls have gone to your head.
Oh, man, that's not exactly where they've gone to.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Mike Casale covering for Carl, who is out of town or at a Halloween party somewhere, and I'm here with Lisa Wolf.
Nobody can actually be Carl, but you're doing a great job covering for Carl. And Roger, I just want you to know that I did respond to your comment, but my mic was off, so you probably didn't hear me.
No, I did not hear you.
Because maybe your mic talk really, really loud, it can go through the door and down the hall right into the newsroom.
Almost.
I feel like
almost.
I could do that.
I felt a vibration in the force.
That'll work. Yeah, that's me.
So this hour we have The Weird Circle from September 5th, 1943, The House and the Brain with Arnold Moss.
Right, but before that, we're going to play our Cat's Pride oldies but goodies.
Those oldies but goodies reminds me of you.
So a big hit during September of 1943 is called Sunday, Monday, or Always by the wonderful Bing Crosby and the Ken Darby Singers.
Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, I want you near every day in the year.
Oh, won't you tell me when we will meet again? Sunday, Sunday or Monday, or always. If you're satisfied, I'll be at your side. Sunday, Sunday or Monday, or always.
Sunday or Monday, Monday or
no need to tell me now what makes the world go round. When at the sight of you, my heart begins to pound and pound. And what am I to do? Can't I be with you? Sunday, Monday, or always
and forever I must be with you. Beginning on Sunday and Monday and then forever.
Ooh. Won't you tell me when we will meet again?
Sunday, Sunday or Monday,
or always. If you're satisfied, I'll be at your side.
Sunday, Sunday or Monday,
or always.
Sunday or Monday, Monday or tell me now what makes the world go round. When at the sight of you my heart begins to pound, pound, pound.
What am I to do? Can't I be with you? Sunday,
Sunday,
Monday,
Monday,
or always.
That was Sunday, Monday, or Always by Bing Crosby. And at that time, which is September of 1943, Philip Morris ran an ad acknowledging smoker's cough, which they claimed was caused by smoking brands other than Philip Morris, which is quite interesting. And a popular movie was For Whom the Bell Tolls, starring Gary Cooper and Ingrid Bergman. So that's what's going on. Welcome back This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are ready to play our third radio show, The Weird Circle. It is called The House and the Brain with Arnold Moss. It's from September 5th of 1943. An evil spirit kept alive for 400 years. That's about how old Roger is, I think, same age, haunts a house and murders the old woman living there. Let us hear The Weird Circle.
The Weird Circle. In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out the past stories strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell, so all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Listen to the waves. Listen closely, for you will hear the crying of lost souls. Our story discloses the horror in man's mind. This is a tale of the house and the brain. Come with me to London, through the heavy fog of the city, to a large house in the suburbs. A young couple enter the portals of that house to attend an art auction.
Well, hello, Jim. We've been looking all over for you. We've got quite a crowd here today. Paul Whitney, Sandra, I'm glad you've come. I thought you two were refugees from this sort of thing.
Well, frankly, Jim, I've suddenly conceived a passion for good oil paintings, and I'm going to buy this fabulous painting of the ancient cutthroat.
Well, to tell you the truth, Jim, she suddenly conceived a passion for cutthroats, ancient or otherwise.
Oh, my husband abuses me.
I'm too nice to her, or she'd never be interested in any other man.
But, darling, the man in the portrait's been dead 400 years.
Dead or living, he's not beyond your charms.
But my husband loves me, Jim. Must be my fatal fascination. Yeah. But I didn't come here to talk with you, even if it is fun. I came here to see that oil painting.
Oh, it's quite a painting.
Yes, so we've heard.
It's in my study. Come and take a look before the auction starts.
Hmm? Now, don't fall in love with it, Sandy. No matter how you feel about 15th century reprobates, I'm not going to spend a fortune buying useless pictures.
Well, there's the picture. What do you think?
He has a face you'll never forget.
And a reputation. Yes, sir, he lived a full life. You know, he was supposed to have been fabulously wealthy. But when he died, his fortune disappeared.
Oh, my dumpling aunt. He looks like the kind of man who sticks pins in people for the devil of it.
Sandra, the strangest thing about the picture is the man's eyes. You get the feeling that the eyes are alive.
Yes, very definitely. Clever work.
Paul.
What's the matter with you, Sandra?
I could have sworn I've seen that man in London recently.
What man?
The one in the picture.
What? He's been dead 400 years.
Stop snickering at me, Jim. I know what I've seen.
Impossible. The only thing left of the Honorable Cutthroat Richards is the house on Orchard Street. He built it 450 years ago, and it's never been really habitable since.
Why?
Well, this is your chance to laugh at me. It's haunted.
Haunted?
Oh, not really.
Really?
Oh, Jim, I've never met a ghost.
And you never will, Sandra.
Jim, please, imagine a really, truly ghost.
Wonderful, Jim, take us over. Or better yet, I'll rent the place for a week. I've heard a lot about ghosts, but I've never been able to pin one down. You know, I've been a student of the occult for a long time.
Jim, please.
Oh, Sandra, I'm serious. It's dangerous business, this ghost hunting.
Please, fella, anything to get Sandra's mind off buying that picture.
Very well, but you'll find some very real ghosts over there. The housekeeper, Mrs. Browning, will rent you a room if you want one. But she's the only person who's ever been able to stay in the old house.
Thanks, old man. Come along, Sandra.
But the picture.
Hang the picture, my sweet. I've got a genuine ghost for you. The door's open all by itself.
There's no one there. Doors aren't supposed to open by themselves, Paul.
What do you expect? The house is haunted, isn't it? Door slammed by itself, too.
Woo! Tricky place, isn't it?
You frightened?
Not in the least. And it isn't my knees that are shaking, Pet. It's yours. Wonder where the housekeeper is. Her name's Mrs. Browning. Call her and see what happens.
Mrs. Browning!
Don't poke me, Paul!
I didn't poke you.
Well, I didn't poke myself. Oh, hey. I wonder if we're alone. Look behind me, Paul. If it's a ghost, I don't want to meet it quite yet.
Silly, it's broad daylight. Anybody knows ghosts never appear until nightfall.
Oh, Paul, look. It's the child's footprint right there in front of me. A wet footprint.
Great heavens.
No, another one. Looks like the footprint of a child who's taken a bath. Oh, my chubby, yeah.
Listen.
The footprints lead upstairs.
Shall we follow?
Well, it's the obvious thing to do.
Ghastly cold in here, Sandy, isn't it?
Ghostly cold, at any rate.
You're not quite up to form, old girl. You sure you want to go through with this?
No, I'm positive. Almost, anyway.
Sandy, the footprints. They disappear.
Maybe it's all done with mirrors.
Good afternoon. Do come in the sitting room.
Oh, you must be Mrs. Browning. I'm Sandra Whitney, and this is my husband.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Danvers told me you were coming. Won't you be seated?
Thank you, Mrs. Browning.
I hope my stepdaughter didn't frighten you.
Your stepdaughter? Well, I didn't see anyone.
Naturally. She's dead.
You mean the footprints we saw?
Yes, of course. You didn't see or hear anything else?
No.
Expecting anyone?
Yes. They're coming for me shortly. My time is up, and I must die in the way they've planned it.
They?
Those who live in this house, Mrs. Whitney.
Oh, come, Mrs. Browning, you don't really believe ghosts actually live here.
Believe it? I know it. You see, Mr. Whitney, when I was first married 40 years ago, my husband, my stepdaughter, and myself moved into this house. They were here then.
Why didn't you move out?
Oh, we became used to them. Then my stepdaughter died. My husband had an unfortunate accident, and I was left alone.
You've lived here alone ever since?
Yes. Waiting for them to take me.
Mrs. Browning, how much will you charge my wife and myself for an apartment here by the week?
Charge? Nothing. Nothing at all. Anybody who has the courage to stay here is most welcome. But I advise you against it. Listen.
What is it?
Souls crying for release. Release from him.
Oh, come, Mrs. Browning.
You don't believe me? You will when you move in. When can I expect you?
Tonight at 8. How about it, Paul?
That sounds jolly.
You'll use the east wing. I'll have a fire lit for you. But let me warn you once again. They'll be waiting for you. Day and night.
Sandra, you all back?
Of course, Paul. Down, Blackie. Down, I say. Oh, if you keep squirming, I'll never get you on a leash.
I'd better take some pistols along with us.
Well, I'm not at all sure you can shoot a ghost, Paul.
I'm not at all sure it is a ghost. Something awfully phony about all that.
Oh, no. My intuition says there were ghosts in that house, darling, and I've a very perceptive intuition.
Sandra, you're not going to take Blackie with you.
Well, of course I am. He's a watchdog, isn't he?
But a dog...
Now, darling, remember how nicely he caught pheasant last year.
But pheasant aren't the same thing as ghosts at all.
Stuff and nonsense. You ready?
All ready. Here's your coat, dear.
Oh, look out the window, Paul. So peaceful out there.
You've always been partial to twilight.
Oh, reminds me of the time you courted me. It was such a nice time. Paul, that man, the one on the street.
What man?
The one standing right out there. Look at him. That's the same man whose portrait we saw at Jim Danvers' house today.
Sandra, Sandra, where are you going?
To talk to him, Pat. Call him. Mr. Richard! Oh, dear. Mr. Richard. Oh, my chubby aunt. It is him. Oh, excuse me, sir. I couldn't help noticing you, and...
You noticed me?
You are Mr. Richard, aren't you?
I've been known to many by many names.
Oh, dear, please pardon me if I'm rude, but Well, how in the devil did you manage to stay alive for 400 years?
You will notice my eyes.
I'm here.
Look deep. Deep.
Let me go. Let me go.
Deeply into my eyes.
The greater power, greater than death.
You've never seen me before. You don't know me. You can never remember me again.
That was the first portion of The Weird Circle from September 5th, 1943, The House and the Brain with Arnold Moss. What do you think, Lisa?
I'm liking that laugh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it, though.
Okay, fair enough.
But we're going to do a little Halloween trivia quiz right after this quick break.
Oh, we're back.
Okay, you ready?
Sure.
Okay, Roger, are you with us?
Yes, I think I am.
It's Halloween in the Halloween spirit. We're going to do a little Halloween trivia quiz. Mike and Roger, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Multiple choice, so you can feel good about yourself. Number one, the first jack-o'-lanterns were made out of what? Watermelons, cantaloupe, turnips, or pumpkins?
I'll go with turnips.
Mike?
I mean, I would just assume that they were made out of pumpkins, but maybe this is a trick, so I'll say watermelons.
Okay. It was not a trick. I'm going to go with turnips. Roger, you're up one.
Oh,
Good job. Number two. According to watermelons, according to superstition, if you stare into a mirror at midnight on Halloween, who would you see? The choices are Bloody Mary, your future spouse, your death, or dead ancestors. Mike, you're up.
I'm going to say, what was option A?
Bloody Mary, your future spouse, your death, dead ancestors.
I'll say dead ancestors.
Roger?
This is according to
superstition.
Superstition. I'm sorry. I'm slow and old. Give me them again.
400, I think you are.
I know.
Bloody Mary, your future spouse, your death, dead ancestors.
Dead ancestors.
You guys are both wrong. It's your future spouse. So,
what?
Roger.
God, I married someone ugly.
Roger. Oh, gosh. No, I hope your wife's not listening. Number three.
She's beautiful.
I know she is. Number three. Where did Halloween originate? Was it England, America, Scotland, or Ireland? What do you think, Raj?
Oh, I say Ireland.
Ireland?
I'll say England.
It is Ireland. Roger,
bam.
You're up too. This is going well for you, Mike.
Yeah.
Number four. Okay, Mike, I think you can get this one. What is the top selling candy for Halloween? Is it Snickers, candy corn, M&Ms, or Reese's?
Oh, boy. You know, I want to say it's candy corn because I feel like those are always around everywhere, but I want to say Snickers because that's what I want. So I'm going to just go with Snickers.
All right, Roger.
And the last two was Reese's and what?
M&M's.
I'll go with M&M's.
Okay, you're both wrong.
Oh, it's Reese's.
I call it Reese's. Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, peanut butter cup. Yeah, sure. Isn't
so I'm going to say you should always go with your first instinct, Mike, which was
candy corn.
Candy corn.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that too, but.
I bet you were. Okay, Roger. How many witches were burned at the stake in the Salem witch trials?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it? Now listen carefully so you don't have to repeat it for you. Is it 13, 20, 33 or none?
How many witches were burned at the stake?
Yes, that's
none.
What I said. None?
None.
None. You are on it,
that
you
I did
guys.
Know.
That is absolutely right. I'm going to do one more question.
Okay.
Okay. The average American household, and Roger, you are far from average, spends how much on Halloween candy each year? Now, here's the choices.
Okay.
28, 35, 44, and 52. Which is it?
I'll go with the 52.
Okay.
I'll go the number before.
44, 52.
44?
Yes.
Mike, you're on a roll.
Hey, it is 44. Look at you.
So good job. That was just a little Halloween trivia. Wait, is Halloween.
So what was the final score?
2-2.
Huh?
2-2.
2-2.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just made that up. I call it a tie.
We're all winners here.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
So we are in the middle of the weird circle, and anything with the word weird in it, I like it. This is The House and the Brain with Arnold Moss. We'll get right back into it and hear part two, and the final portion of the weird circle.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I'm on repeat here, right?
Well, I don't know what just happened. I thought something mysterious happened. Something weird just happened.
I think it's all this Halloween stuff going on. Roger.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
I'm pretty sure it was Roger's fault no matter what happened.
I'm pushing buttons in here. I have no idea which ones I'm pushing.
I'm well aware. Well, I mean, I'm going to push your buttons, and we're going to go back to the weird circle. Let's do it.
Keep walking, Sandra. I hope you're properly ashamed of yourself, approaching strange men and asking them silly questions.
Well, I'm sorry, Paul. It was stupid of me, but anybody can be wrong.
Of course they can, but on the face of it, it was silly. Expecting a man who was alive 400 years ago to be roaming around loose.
It wasn't a matter of looseness, Paul. It was a matter of liveness. Now, come on, stop being a husband and hold my arm.
I ought to tear it off and beat you over the head with it.
He's so virile. But I love him.
Well, come along, Sandy. There's your haunted house ahead. We don't want to keep Mrs. Browning waiting.
Or the goat.
That door again.
Insidious feeling doors opening and slamming.
Mrs. Browning! Mrs. Browning!
I'm in the east wing, Mr. Whitney, just lighting the fire.
You better go on up. This hall's drafty.
Hey, Paul, more than cold in here. It's almost as if something or somebody is draining your body of all warmth.
That's a pleasant thought, Sandy. Now that you've scared yourself stiff, move.
Well, I was just getting in the mood for go. Where's the east wing?
This way, Mrs. Whitney.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Browning. Well, this room looks cheerful.
It's as gay as my mood. Nice fire, nice candles. Quiet, quiet, Blackie. You scare somebody.
A dog scare somebody? Not tonight. They came tonight.
What came tonight?
You see. Better make yourselves at home while you can.
Blackie, sit down. Over here, Blackie. Look at him, Paul. The hairs on his head are standing on end.
Be quiet, Blackie.
Blackie!
Look! I told you they were here.
A luminous mass. A blue mass. Sandy, be careful.
It's materializing.
Coming for me. I knew it. Coming for me.
Oh, Mrs. Browning, Paul. Fingers are choking her. Good heavens.
Mrs. Browning.
Paul, Paul, stop this horrible thing. It's horrible.
It's all right, darling. All right, darling.
Oh, it's gone, hasn't it?
Yes. It's gone. But Mrs. Browning, she's dead.
I told you.
Oh, I know.
Quiet. Mr. Danvers, I'm going to reconstruct the scene of the crime. Nobody tells Detective Hodges that a flesh and blood woman gets bumped off by a ghost.
But I saw it myself. Oh, be quiet, Blackie. If you'd only relax, Detective Hodges, and go away, we'd catch the ghost for you.
Quiet!
I'm only trying to help, but Blackie, stop!
Sandra, you're only confusing the issue.
Paul's right, Sandra. Sit down over here.
Jim Danvers, if you side with Paul, I'll never speak to you.
Now, Mr. Whitney, if you don't mind, we'll go over the details again. What happened?
Well, Mrs. Whitney and I were here in this room with Mrs. Browning when a blue mass suddenly floated in the door. The lights in the fireplace dimmed, the candles were extinguished, and Mrs. Browning began to scream.
Why?
Because she saw a ghost. It's really all so simple.
Sandra, my dear.
And then what happened?
The mass suddenly materialized, at least sufficiently, for us to see two hands.
Two hands without a body.
The hands reached out, grasped Mrs. Browning by the throat, and...
That was that.
Thank you, Mrs. Whitney. I suppose you expect me to believe that story?
There's no reason for you to doubt Mr. Whitney's word, Detective Hodge.
I'm not saying there is. But there was only three people in this room, and one of them is dead. Everybody's under arrest. Everybody, do you hear?
Paul, it's here again.
Look, Detective Hodge. Paul, Sandra.
Oh, Paul, for heaven's sake.
What is it?
An axe murderer in ectoplasm.
Sandra, don't be funny.
Let's get out of this house before it gets all of us.
It's gone.
Yes, it's gone. Now do you believe us, Detective Hodge?
Yes. Yes, I believe you. I'll have Mrs. Browning's body removed to the morgue right away.
Paul, if you insist on staying in this house overnight, I'll not be responsible for what happens.
But, Jim, I'm convinced that there are no such things as ghosts. Now, please, Jim, take Sandra back home and leave me.
I'm not budging without you, Paul.
Sandra, don't be foolish.
Well, no matter what you two do, I'm not staying here.
Oh, go, old fuzzy beard. Take thy tired body and deliver it to a safe, warm bed. Poor Jim. Scared of a little ghost. It's 11 p.m. already.
Well, good night, Paul, Sandra.
Nighty-night, Jim.
What was that?
You mean the footfalls?
Yes, what is it?
The housekeeper's dead stepdaughter.
You see? It's all so simple.
Good grief. Good night.
Oh, we've been all through the house, Paul, and I'm dead tired. Come on, let's go to bed.
You go to bed. I'll sit up and read these letters we found in the attic.
Here, Blackie, come here. Come here. Now lie down next to me. There, poor Blackie. Poor doggy. You don't like the ghosties, do you, pet? Poor Blackie.
Yeah, this letter's interesting.
What is it?
Evidently a letter from the housekeeper to her husband. A love letter. She talks about her brother's child. It seems her brother left his money to his daughter, and she handled the estate for the child.
That's jolly. Maybe that's the child she calls her stepdaughter.
Let's see what it says. Listen. Since we have managed the child's end, you and I are more than lovers. We are partners in many things.
Sounds as if they murdered the child.
Yes, it does. Sandra, I wonder if my theory's right. If people felt strong passions, and if those passions linger in a house after the people have gone, couldn't that create a heavy psychic atmosphere?
Well, those fingers that murdered Mrs. Browning were more than heavily psychic. Unhook the collar of my dress, Paul.
Where will I put the letters down on the dressing table here?
Just a top hook.
I'll better keep these pistols handy just in case. Something about a gun that gives me courage. Funny.
Oh, it's midnight. I'm tired and nothing's funny.
You know Mrs. Browning's sitting room? It seems to be an extra addition to this house. It juts out from the rest of the building like a sleeping porch.
What's funny about that?
Well, that horrible cold and the footfalls all seem to emanate from that room.
Oh, you and your logical mind.
Oh. What's the matter, Sandy?
Well, look, the fire's dimming.
Oh. Just, oh.
Just like a great black shadow standing in front of it.
Give me my gun.
Here, dear.
Shh, Blackie, shh. Look, Sandy. A hand reaching out from the wall.
The letters. It's got the letters.
Great Scott.
Oh, my chubby hand.
Watch it.
It's the hand of the housekeeper.
How do you know?
It's got the same ring on she had on this afternoon. If that's not a ghost, I've never seen one.
The fire's going out, Sandra.
Sandra! It's all around us!
Sandra! Sandra!
The greater power, greater than death.
You can't get your will against mine. My will is greater.
No.
Succumb, succumb. My will is greater.
No, you're a shadow.
And you are a mere mortal who knows no secrets beyond the veil. I control the world of shadows. Succumb, fool, succumb.
No, go away. You're nothing but an image.
You will die by my command in this house. You will die before morning. Admit my will.
No, I will not admit your will. Sandra, you're safe now on your own. Just lie still, darling, and drink this.
Oh, Paul. Paul.
I was a fool to allow you to stay in that accursed place last night. I ought to have my head examined.
I came over as soon as I got your message, Paul.
Oh, come on in, Jim. Saunders recovering from a bit of a shock.
Yes, I heard about it. I warned you, Paul, that house is definitely haunted. I'm going to board it up. It's completely useless.
No, that's not the answer, Jim. It isn't ghosts. At least, not in the real sense of the word.
Why, Paul, after what you went through, you say that?
It's too malignant for a ghost. Do you believe in the power of hypnotism?
Well, I've heard some amazing theories about it anyway.
Well, I believe some power controls that house.
Well, that's still ghosts.
No, because the brain that controls the house is still alive. I'm convinced of it.
Well, where do you think this man who controls the house is?
He might be thousands of miles away. Remember you said that the eyes in the picture of the fabulous Richards seems alive?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Not at all. In some crazy mad manner, Richards has kept himself alive all these 400 years. In some hypnotic way, he controls that house.
Well, if your theory is right, how can we break his control?
Well, I'm certain that his control emanates from the little sitting room which once belonged to Mrs. Browning.
Yes?
Now, if you'll let me, I'd like to hire workmen and tear that room off the rest of the house.
Oh, but Paul,
well, the room is only an extra addition, Jim. It can't do any harm to try.
Okay, pull up more of that flooring.
Did you hurt yourself climbing that partition, Sandra?
No. Oh, imagine a secret room down here, Paul, right beneath the sitting room. You see, Jim, Paul was right. That's like finding a box with a false bottom.
That's all for now, boys.
Oh, careful of your head, Sandra. This room isn't very big.
But it's as cold storage.
Well, now you know how a hunk of beef feels in an icebox.
That's gay.
A musty old room. Bed and four walls.
And two drawers built into the wall over there.
All modern conveniences.
Try to open them. They look rusty. Just pull.
All right. There. The drawer's open.
Oh, nothing but a lot of musty old clothes.
Listen, Paul.
Nothing unusual, Jim. Just the same footfalls we've been hearing all along.
I'm beginning to become quite fond of them.
Look, here.
Why, it's a miniature painting.
Yes, a painting of Mr. Richards. Look at it. The same face as that painting in my house.
Look at the eyes in the miniature. Paul, they're alive.
Great heavens.
They're moving. You better put that portrait down, Paul.
Yes, they are alive. Living matter in a painting.
Oh, Paul, it's getting colder in here all the time. I feel faint. Faint, and is it something unearthly is moving around?
Open the next drawer, Paul. Hurry, I don't like this growing cold at all.
It won't budge. The blasted thing. Oh, there it is.
Why, Paul, there's a thin china saucer full of crystal liquid with a compass floating on it.
That's a strange thing. There's an inscription written in the drawer.
What's it say?
As this compass moves, so my will dominates everything within these four walls. Everything dead or alive. Accursed be the house and restless the dwellers therein.
What's it mean?
This is the brain, Sandra. Richards controls this instrument through hypnotism. He can control a piece of paper or a chair or even the souls of the dead.
Then this house is haunted.
Yes, haunted by a malicious, malignant will. It keeps a man's spirit roving restlessly after death.
Paul! Paul, look! Look in that corner!
Mr. Richards, you are alive.
Yes, alive. Quite alive. Because I will to live. Very clever deduction, Mr. Whitney.
Deduction?
Yes, I heard your keen analysis of my activities.
You are a hypnotist, then.
I have been powerful for 400 years. Your blind stumbling onto my secret will not stop me now. I can will anything. I will the specters of the past to re-enter this room.
In heaven's name, man, stop this.
Oh, that black shadow. It's here with us, closing in.
Yes, closing in. All those who have died in this house are my slaves, as you will be my slaves in a very few brief seconds.
You are not the brain controlling this house. You gave that power to this compass. You transferred your power to this moving needle. Am I right, Mr. Richards?
Put that compass down!
Oh, no, I'll destroy it, Mr. Richards! No, you're completely powerless to harm us.
Watch out, Paul! This partition's gonna crumble!
Paul!
Sandra!
Gosh, Paul, it's good to be back in our own home.
What happened to Mr. Richards when the partition collapsed, Jim?
Well, the workmen searched the debris around the house for Mr. Richards' body, but no trace of him was found. I'm afraid that He escaped.
Oh, no.
You mean he's still alive and free, Jim?
Yes, indeed. That's just what I mean.
Well, he won't be for long, Sandra. People everywhere will be warned, and every corner of this earth will be looking for him. Even his will can't defy the world, Sandra. No one man can ever fight the world.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have recalled the house and the brain. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
Ooh, and that was The Weird Circle from September 5th, 1943, The House and the Brain with Arnold Moss. What's going on, Lisa?
I don't hear anything.
You don't? What did you do?
Well, I don't know.
I hear you.
Okay, well, that's good, too.
Is the volume up on the headphones?
It sure is, Mike.
Okay.
I've been here once or twice before. I'm just saying.